Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just glad the shadow of the police is over. It's decided. It's in the past now.
Yeah. Maybe I'll stop asking me this.
Molly at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's the voice of Tim Anderson. He's moving on in the world.
And, yeah, we had to bleep that out a little bit.
We're delighted to welcome in Jim Margulis from Sox Machine, who posed an excellent question in a column a couple days ago following the news of Manny, which is, of course, what are the White Sox proud of? Something. Hey, Jim, how are you? Good morning.
Morning, Jim.
I'm great. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm moving on. I'm done, and I'm moving forward, and I'm not going to get caught up in the past, and I was delighted to hear Rick say that the Harper thing isn't necessarily over. If they were going to pay Manny, how are they going to possibly pay Harper? So I'm no longer interested in what was. I'm going forward with what will be. And I got to tell you, Jim, you want to talk about adding injury to insult? Seeing Bosby break a bone in his hand right after they don't get Manny was just like a reminder of kind of the constant stream of injury among some of these prospects a year ago, which is embittering to think about, but understandable because that's how life works sometimes.
Yeah, that was, I guess that was just the weird twist on it. As you think, you're getting toward the end of the Machado thing, the White Sox are legitimately in it, and this is the time where you think, okay, this is, the Yankees are out, the Dodgers are out, it's the Padres, the White Sox can top the Padres, and then it doesn't happen, and the White Sox come up well short, in fact, of the guaranteed money, and then all of a sudden, Bosby breaks his hand, and he was one of the guys I was more excited about off the radar. You know, Eloy was going to come up and take up a lot of the oxygen. Cease is there for somebody who could, crack the rotation by, like, say, June or July. So Bosby was maybe a late summer addition to me if he hit as well as he did last year. And to see that happen and to see how hand injuries can linger, yeah, it just brought flashbacks of that over again. And you're thinking, is this another 100-loss season? And given how poorly they played last year and how they don't project to be a whole lot better. All it takes is more bad luck like this to get back in that hole.
Jim, when you reflect back at what went wrong, as time moves on, what will you remember where the breakdown occurred, I guess, most egregiously? What was the biggest problem in the White Sox's offer? Was it their inability to recognize what the Padres did about the structure of the deal and where the Padres understood that to sacrifice the first 2 years of the deal, you had to kind of guarantee the last two in what Steve Phillips sort of alluded to, or is it anything other than that?
Yeah, it surprised me with the Padres is how straightforward the deal was. 10 years and $300 million. When we were talking about it, when other people were talking about it, we were reading analysis, that was the starting points that they understood that Bryce Harper rejected something in that window, I guess, with deferred money with Washington, but it thought, okay, Harper's going to get more than that. Maybe Machado gets that deal. Maybe he gets a little less, 8 years, $250. Maybe he gets more, $12, $350, but it all orbited around that $10 and $300. So to see him sign that on the dot, it seemed like the White Sox should have been ready for that number. It seemed like that was eminently reasonable for a player of Machado's caliber. Also, not a lot of lists so far, and I keep waiting for more details to see if that's there are any wrinkles, but I mean, one opt-out in 5 years, that's fine. No deferred money. I guess we'll find out about signing bonuses or anything like that. No trade clauses, but nothing out of the ordinary. It just seemed like a long, when you see start to finish and what the Padres did, both teams are starting from the same position where they aren't winners and they're trying to be winners, but they have been stuck in this rut for years. And the Padres seem to recognize that they have to go, you know, give the client what he wants. The White Sox tried to save some face or save a couple years, and you know, it seems reasonable for you know, a guy like Machado to ask for a couple years in the back end if he's giving up a couple years in the front end to help a team get to contender shape.
So moving forward, onward and upward, I heard your interview with Keith Law on the podcast on Sox Machine. I listened to that. I listened to you guys all the time. I think you do a great job. And I'm a big fan. So it's fun to see a guy like Keith Law come on, because he unlike some other outlets, he does not seem to like the White Sox. He never seems to be particularly kind to them. And I always figure, well, that, you know, I want to hear what he has to say. And you quizzed him pretty good about it. And he said a few things that really kind of bothered me a little bit, you know, about some of the foreign signings and some of the lack of the international prospects, if you will, in the system, the top heavy nature of the system. You know, just things that I don't usually think about when I'm looking at these names. And you know, the one player that sort of jumped out, and you spoke to him about this in several different ways, is Louis Robert, and what they have with him, and, you know, just the international man of mystery element of the fact that he has been, you know, it's almost impossible to find the guy because he's been down so often, and yet he goes out to Arizona and has a fantastic performance, and now maybe he's thought of highly again. What's going on with him in particular?
I think he hasn't lost any ground from what he came in with when he was signed for. Well, it turned out to be $50 million with the penalties, more than $50 million with all the penalties. But I think he's young enough, he's talented enough, he's showed enough in the Arizona Fall League, where he just has the speed, he has the center field instincts, he has the motor. He runs all out. I think Rick Renteria would like that if you could ever get him on the roster. He's always looking for the extra base, whether it's taking chances on rounding second. He's very aggressive but not entirely reckless. There'll be some learning, I think, along the way to learn his limitations, but the limitations are pretty flexible with him right now. I think the problem, as you mentioned, is health. He just gets banged up in a lot of different ways. He's had problems with sliding, injuring his hand, injuring his ankle, with slides in the second, not necessarily head first slides either. Just, his hands get banged up in a lot of ways, and that hurts. But right now, the biggest criticism is just that criticism with young players is that, he might get tied up by the inside fastball a little bit. The swing is a little long. Some of that is just because he hasn't seen a whole lot of pitching and, might be a little over anxious once he's facing live pitching to catch up on hits that he hasn't gotten. So hopefully this is just a year where he plays 100 plus games and is able to get into a rhythm, is able to not have to try to catch up in the statistical column and make up for lost time. And we see what he is like when he's just got when he's comfortable in the box, when he's comfortable over the course of the season. And, I'm pretty optimistic about him.
Jim, what can the Sox do in the next week or so before the season starts to make you feel optimistic about this year? Is there a free agent move? Is Gio Gonzalez? Is Marwin Gonzalez? Any of those names out there in free agency going to make you feel any better about the state of affairs?
Not really. I think when it came to the free agents that are out there now, it's basically like the difference makers are gone. Gio Gonzalez would theoretically provide depth and avoid like Dylan Covey from taking, starter starts. I don't think the White Sox need to see that anymore. That helps, and maybe that makes some sense. But when it comes to difference makers, it's really just going to be about how does Yoan Moncada look at third base? Whenever Eloy Jimenez gets up there, right now you kind of think 2 weeks from now in April, but he's got he's got a history of health injuries himself. And I think the White Sox might be relieved if he has a hamstring issue on St. Patrick's Day that makes him miss the rest of spring training, and he has to go down to Charlotte to get back up to game speed, and all of a sudden it's April 18th, and the White Sox can call him up without any kind of service time tampering. And I think the White Sox might actually hope for that kind of that kind of injury luck for once. But otherwise, it's basically going to be about the guys that they have, that's more or less where it was going to be with Machado anyway. Maybe Machado gets them to 75 wins, but if Giolito struggles again and Moncada strikes out 220 times again, and you have Lopez kind of holding the whole thing down with confidence, but there's no stars here, aside from maybe Elway, then the rebuild is basically in the same precarious position that it was entering the season.
Boy, it's such a big year for Moncada. I mean, you can't even understate it. I know he's a young kid, but 217 strikeouts. Now they're moving him to third. So here's hoping.
Yeah, I like his chances at third base because I watching him play defense the last couple of years. He's got the physical range to play second, but I think when it comes to, I guess, the finesse aspects of the position, you know, gathering the ball in his glove, making quick pivots, throwing from off angles, throwing from off balance, seem to have trouble finishing plays, and some guys just don't get there. And I think third base is more of a physical position. It's about first step. It's about, you know, getting the ball into your glove. Everything is, or at least most players are going to your left. Most throws are going to the left. There's a lot less to do with his body, getting it under control to make these little touch plays around the bag, around around first base. And it's going to be, I think, easier for him to simplify the game, whether, you know, what Rick Renteria was saying about how focus at third base will improve his focus at the plate. I don't see that. I think that's more just hoping. But given that he's a switch hitter, given that he's like Avi Garcia, I think we talked about this before, Avi was somebody who could hit 330 in AAA and then hit 240 in the majors, and sending him down to hit 340 in AAA is going to, you know, help him be any better in the majors. I think he has to figure out the final step in the majors, and it's going to be frustrating. And I've had that in mind with Moncada too, that, you know, the switch hitting, the patience, the couple holes in the swing, they're going to have to be ironed out at the major league level. So last year didn't entirely surprise me, and hopefully this year is the product of learning from a very tough year last year.
Jim, thanks a ton. Really appreciate it,
thanks,
man.
Jim.
My pleasure. Hopefully we'll talk about some wins someday.
Yeah,
someday.
That's Jim Margulis from Sox Machine.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.